Welcome back on this Tuesday, the 13th day of June, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and happy Banana Republic Day. Well, actually, it's not a happy day, but it certainly is a day when it's no longer even remotely deniable that the United States, long a banana republic, is now past the point where anybody, even the far left, can fail to see it, at least fail to see it honestly. The actually elected president is set to appear before a so-called federal judge at 3 p.m. Eastern Time Tuesday in Miami, Florida, where law enforcement is preparing, isn't that a laughable way to put it, for up to 50,000 protesters outside the courthouse. Wonder how many of them will be embedded FBI agents with plans to, we'll probably find out, won't we? And I guess in fairness, I have to note there are other three-letter agencies that will also have their people in the crowd, and a lot of them won't be on the direct federal payroll. They'll just be CHS, or Confidential Human Sources. By the way, one other reminder, if Donald Trump didn't know this, he wouldn't have survived this long, but hopefully he'll do a better job of putting good, trustworthy people around him, including in the Secret Service, than he did in, say, the cabinet or various high-ranking government positions like Attorney General while he was actually in the Oval Office. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this up front today. I'm sure the mainstream media will obsess and lie about it for weeks, if not months on end, until they've done the dirty deed. But here's at least one example of a bit of counterpoint. It does come from the Daily Mail, so take it with a grain of salt. It'd be just laughable if it weren't so serious, said top Republican Mike Waltz about Trump's so-called federal indictment. He called it a devastating erosion of trust, and that's putting it mildly, after Hitlery, as you may recall, but probably won't be reminded by the mainstream, got away with literal treason and destroyed her emails that were on a private outside government server, which is at least 1,000 times bigger than any crime Trump's even accused of here, because, among other obvious things, it was readily accessed by foreign entities in exchange for, well, you're never going to know what, because the records have been destroyed, the FBI helped her get away with it, and even the disk drives were not only bleach-bitted, but smashed into non-existence afterwards. Treason, espionage, bribery, and an FBI-aided cover-up, all in one. How's that for a real crime that goes, unindicted? Remember the whoremeister himself, James Comey, said famously, no prosecutor would dare touch her. He didn't say why, I will, because they know what would happen to them. And she never was president, even though her team thinks she should have been. But in Banana Republic land, Trump is set to be arraigned on his 37-count indictment Tuesday, and there's literally nobody with half a brain that can't see what this is. A Soviet-style political takedown, and yes, it's also election rigging, a priori, of the singular primary threat, no doubt about it, even if you don't like the guy, on the White Whorehouse enemies list. And once they get rid of Trump, they can probably Bobby Kennedy his son the same way they did his dad, who was also running for president, but probably wasn't nearly as much of a threat to the deep state. Florida Congressman Waltz noted there's a huge difference between how the Department of Just Us, and guess what, folks, you ain't part of us, is treating Trump versus how they handled Hitlery over those 30,000 missing emails. No charges were brought against her for a single one of those, and a whole lot of them really were highly classified, for real. And the current so-called investigation by special counsel Rob Herr into the Biden Führer's classified documents found that the Penn Biden Center and in his garage and in so many other places have, surprisingly, simply disappeared off the mainstream media radar. VPs don't have declassification authority either. Said Walt, so many of his followers, so many of my constituents, and not just Republicans, but people across the board from the political sphere, are saying this is hypocrisy. Do you think? This is two-tier justice. The erosion of trust, he said correctly, and yes, it's an understatement, is just devastating. Yeah, he noted, as everybody with half a brain has seen for years now, if the DOJ can do this to a real president, including Trump, quote, they can do this to any American. Gee, and guess what, folks? They have been, and they are. And he noted, hey, remember when former president, the rapist himself, Bill Clinton's national security advisor, Sandy Berger, broke into the National Archives and stuffed a lot of actually real classified documents into his underwear and socks before destroying them behind a dumpster? Oh, yeah. What happened to him? Well, basically, nothing. But like all of the Clinton crime family, at least, and the deep state O'Biden regime ever since, he was above the law. And you know what else was at least a potential story up until the day that Trump got indicted and it completely fell off the radar? Comey and the crooked FBI in contempt of Congress for failing to hand over the FD-1023 form that showed then-Vice President Biden, the big guy, doing what we all know he became famous for, taking yet another bribe, this one $5 million, from a Ukrainian individual whose name is still being redacted in exchange for, guess what? A little bit of help from our friends. Said Waltz, if this is all malarkey, like Biden claims it is, there should be no problem with transparency. Unquote. And since the big guy can't even seem to stand up in front of a teleprompter long enough to read it correctly anymore, Jill Biden, chief damage controller and diaper handler, came out swinging, said another piece from the Daily Mail, at Donald Trump Monday evening, even as the CCP's puppet has refused comment on the so-called criminal case against the guy who actually won the election. But in her first solo campaign event, they say, since Biden's puppeteers announced that he would begin to run again for the White House, Jill didn't hold back. And she criticized Trump supporters for backing him in spite of his federal indictment. Quote, they don't care about the indictment. That's a little shocking, I think, she said. Why? Because it's bogus? Because it's idiotic? They don't care that your husband is a senile bribe-taken fake, for crying out loud. Who are you to talk? Because even the smaller bribes that your big guy crime lord husband took made anything this guy did look trivial by comparison? Let me say it again. This, folks, is what a banana republic really looks like. And listen to this. This is the last thing I'm going to read from the Daily Mail coverage of this bunch of BS. The First Lady, sick, says the piece, is on a mission to persuade big leftist donors who've expressed skepticism that at age 80, Joe Biden has the strength and stamina for a second term. And that, just like the Biden Fuhrer himself, is a diaper load full of hooey. They know what we know. The guy has been senile since before he was ever even injected into the oval orifice. Well, it's so bad even his body devils can't find their way off stage. And yeah, how's this? It's so bad he can even say he honestly doesn't even remember who's bribed him by now. But wait, there's just a bit more. This is a piece from Zero Hedge and Tyler Durden. The headline says this is crazy, and it's about how Trump has raged after the so-called indictment was unsealed. Quote, this is the man, he said, who caused the lowest learner catastrophe with the IRS, wrote Trump, referring to the deep state UN guy, special counsel Jack Smith himself. Quote, he went after evangelicals and great Americans of faith. His wife is a Trump hater, just as he is a Trump hater, a deranged psycho that shouldn't be involved in any case having to do with justice other than to look at Biden as a criminal, which he is, unquote. All of that's true, folks, and well documented. You just don't expect to hear it from the waste stream. This is crazy, continued Trump, under the Presidential Records Act. And by the way, folks, he's absolutely correct. I'm allowed to do this. It's even consistent with the Constitution, but I don't think Donald Trump is quite as familiar with that document. Anyway, he said under the Clinton Sox case, the decision is clear. There was no crime. Well, remember, folks, it's a crime if a Republican does it. It's not a crime if a deep state leftist does it. Anyway, there was no crime, wrote the president, except for what the DOJ and FBI have been doing against me for years. Biden moved his boxes all over the place, including to Chinatown and his lawyer's office in Boston. So why isn't deranged Jack Smith looking at that, unquote? And we know the answer. So does he. I can't help but hearken back, though, to the fact that he was going to, remember this, lock her up and never did. I guess it came back to bite him. But here's the reason why I'm actually doing the piece. It's not about what Trump said. It's about what the rhino that poses as speaker for the traitors, Kevin McCarthy, said, calling the indictment, get this, a dark day for the country in a tweet last Thursday. And it's not that that statement is wrong, folks. It's absolutely correct. It's just that the hypocrisy kind of leaps off the page at you. Quote, it's unconscionable for a president to indict the leading candidate opposing him. Well, yeah, that's actually true. Joe Biden kept classified documents for decades, wrote McCarthy, and added, I and every American who believes in the rule of law stand with President Trump against this grave injustice. Now, listen to this, folks, and try not to throw up on your shoes. House Republicans will hold this brazen weaponization of power accountable, unquote, and give me a break. What a stinking liar. He's going to hold the deep state accountable for a brazen abuse of power? Well, be still my heart and show me a little bit of action.
What are you going to do, Gary?
Show me the money!
Well, show me something, because we've seen all kinds of treason. We've seen cover-ups. We've seen absolute criminality. We've seen sellouts to foreign powers. We've seen the complete destruction of a once free republic. But the one thing we haven't seen is anything remotely approaching the guilty being held actually accountable. What we've got instead is a banana republic. And if we can't admit at least that, folks, we ain't never coming back from this abyss. From the obscene, let's go briefly to the insane. I guess it's also obscene, and it's ridiculous to boot, but here we go. With not one, but two different leftist headlines. First from Newsweek, hey, there's a reliable source. A topless trans woman at the biggest ever, as a matter of fact, White House Pride event has sparked outrage. The Daily Mail, with pictures, says the Biden LGBT Pride Party guest who goes topless in the White House garden, a transgender model, it says, bared her breasts, yeah, sure, on the South Lawn after posing for snaps with the fake president and the first diaper changer. Rose Montoya, they say, transgender model and actress, sick, was among hundreds invited to celebrate Pride Month at the White Whorehouse. Said the imposters to the crowd, you're beautiful, you're heard, you belong. The fake president called them some of the bravest and most inspiring people. And Montoya then bared, and no folks, this is not what the leftist coverage says, it's breast. And a person filming the whole thing said, are we topless at the White House? No, you're just disgusting, shameless, and yeah, revealed for whatever it is that you actually are. If you're not mad, folks, you're just not paying attention. But here's the kicker. It was a stinking dude pretending to be a woman that bared his fake breasts. And I guess where else but at the fake White House with the fake president on the arguably even fake lawn. Conservative commentator Colin Rugg at least got part of it right, saying if these are the bravest and most inspiring people, that's a quote, that Biden has ever known, the country you once knew is gone. Gee, do you think? This is another one of those quick, no surprise whatsoever stories. Two sources on this one, though. First, Christina Leyland, the Gateway Pundit, White House press secretary, and chief liar, Karine Jean-Pierre, violated the Hatch Act. Who could have thought it? According to the government watchdog known as the Office of the Special Counsel, which said that Karine Jean-Pierre violated the Hatch Act for repeatedly bashing what she called mega MAGA Republicans right before the 2022 midterm elections. Quote, because Ms. Jean-Pierre made the statements while acting in her official capacity, she violated the Hatch Act prohibition against using her official authority or influence for the purpose of interfering with or affecting the results of an election. Unquote. And guess what action they took against her for that crime, folks? You know the answer, don't you? Zero, zip, nada, nothing. NBC has the story, and according to Newsbusters.org, they basically ignored it. On Monday, they had an exclusive report on their website revealing the incompetence of the press secretary for the Biden regime, KJP, and the fact that she was found to be in violation of the Hatch Act. But on Monday night, NBC Nightly News completely ignored the reporting of their own network because there was local weather to talk about and a tour boat that capsized in upstate New York. But at least the Gateway Pundit points out that you may remember, then again you probably won't, that the Secretary of the Interior, Ryan Zinke, under President Donald Trump, you know, the elected guy, was forced to step down from his post for violating the Hatch Act because he merely tweeted a photo of his socks that had a cartoon caricature of President Trump on them. Oh, well, tell me something we didn't know. From here, since it is Banana Republic Tuesday, let's just go to a series of headlines that'll outline some of the rest of what's going on. Former presidential candidate, back when the Democrats had some integrity, well, if you could count to one anyway, Tulsi Gabbard has said something that should have been said, probably has, any number of times, but at least not by such a high-profile Democrat. Quote, Democrats, she said, have become the racist that they claim to hate. Gee, tell me something we don't know. Here's another one. Remember the transgender mass shooter in Nashville? You know, the one that you still haven't seen the manifesto for, even though it's been promised for months now? Well, at least the criminal cover-up artists masquerading as cops there have managed to do an autopsy, and that has been released. But, no, not the manifesto. All of this comes 2 full months after the transgendered murderer took out 6 victims, including 3 preteen children, at a private Christian elementary school and gun-free killing zone in Nashville, Tennessee. but you're not allowed to know what was on he, she, his, her, their mind, even though you know why. Finally, our update from the arguably manufactured famine front. This one comes from Michael Snyder, first at the Economic Collapse blog. Kansas wheat harvest, he writes, will be the smallest since 1957. U.S. corn, meanwhile, even if it's genetically modified Franken corn for the most part, is being absolutely devastated by drought. Bottom line, significantly higher food prices. I bet that is a shocker, right? Because U.S. food production is going to be way, way below normal levels this year. And the last time the harvest was this bad, back in 1957, the population of the United States was 166 million people. Today, it's pretty much twice that. And guess what? That means flour mills in Kansas will likely have to buy wheat grown in Eastern Europe. But weather modification and even fires isn't just destroying food production in the United States. Maybe you've heard about the widespread arson in Canada. Crops in southern Alberta, says a piece from Strange Sounds, that should be green are turning brown as well. Because what with little or no measurable precipitation since mid-April in areas south of Calgary, a lot of farmers are already predicting major crop issues. Is there a pattern here? Well, folks, only if you have eyes to see. Why, it's almost like somebody, or maybe some buddies, are shifting weather patterns around, manipulating the jet stream, diverting moisture, you know, all the usual stuff that we're told is just a conspiracy theory. Who knows? Maybe even to advance a political agenda. Almost like it's one that we've been seeing on about every front you can imagine. There is a bit more out today on one of the many stories you're not supposed to hear. You're certainly not supposed to pay any attention to them. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa on Monday dropped yet another bombshell. You just didn't hear it go off in the recent spate of Biden corruption headlines. Well, on page B37, at least, that the foreign national who allegedly bribed then Vice President Big Guy Joe Biden kept no less than 17 secret recordings of both Hunter and the big guy daddy, Joe Biden, as a so-called insurance policy. The Washington Examiner has the story that the foreign national is, in fact, Burisma owner Mykola Zlochevsky. And said the senator, the 1023 form that was finally produced, although you still haven't seen it, folks, and they weren't allowed to actually have it, just look at it, to that House committee redacted references to the foreign national who allegedly bribed the Biden crime family, and who now, we know, allegedly has audio recordings of his conversations with both of them, 17 in total, said Grassley during a speech on the Senate floor. Those recordings were allegedly kept as an insurance policy for the foreign national just in case he ever got into a tight spot. I guess it's not only helpful to have friends in high places, you better have something on them. And if there's anything that the United States government should have actually proven to the American people's satisfaction by now, it's that. The 1023 also, said the senator, indicates that then Vice President Joe Biden may have been involved in Burisma employing son Hunter. And more than that, he added, the FBI made Congress review a redacted, unclassified document in a classified facility, which shows you just how deep the corruption and disrespect that the FBI goes when it comes to Congress. And you know what, folks? On this score, at least, I can't blame them, because what the hell has Congress ever done to show them who's really boss? So, most recently, what we now know is that the FBI got away with it again, and they covered up the claim that the Burisma owner, the guy who at least had a pretty good share of ownership in the big guy, had secret recordings between he and the Biden crime family as an insurance policy. And the FBI didn't want you to know that, especially not before an election that they intended to help rig. Now, at this point, I am going to digress for just a second, you'll see why it's relevant, to a related piece from the Free Thought Project about the criminal FBI itself. Some of this we knew, perhaps just not the incredible extent of it. A FISA surveillance court opinion released late last week revealed that America's Stasi, the federal bunglers of investigation, violated, who could have thought such a thing would be possible, the constitutional rights of at least 278,000 Americans. Hey, some of us think it's closer to 278 million, but at least they're admitting a tenth of 1% of them, in 2020 and 2021 alone, with various warrantless searches of their email and other electronic data. But wait for it. For each American, the piece notes that the FISA court permitted the FBI to target unlawfully, unconstitutionally, and the hell with your God-given rights, the FBI illicitly surveilled almost 1,000 additional Americans. And there you go. That's the latest federal surveillance scandal stretching back to the years after the 9/11 false flag. Here they proceed to give some history. Regular listeners undoubtedly know most of that. in the name of protecting you, they did what? Gang rape the rest of your rights that they hadn't already taken away. That's the bottom line capsule synopsis. But here's the part that's buried deep down in this thing that I think is really fascinating and certainly bears paying attention to, especially on Banana Republic Day. You hopefully recall that back in 2013, during the first Obama regime, Ed Snowden blew the roof off of the surveillance state with a number of disclosures pointing out that, yeah, what was a conspiracy theory had really been a fact all along, and for that the intelligence community wanted him dead, and ironically he had to escape to Russia to survive. Snowden also leaked secret court rulings that proved that the FISA court had created, quote, a secret body of law, or what now passes for it, yeah, giving the National Security Agency the power to amass vast collections of data on actual Americans. Obviously, Snowden's courageous disclosures didn't stop the outrages, and the latest disclosure from the FISA court signals that the FBI presumed, and listen carefully to this, folks, that any actual Americans suspected of even supporting the January 6th, 2020 protest about the rigging and theft of an election forfeited his or her constitutionally protected rights. Well, hey, they hadn't been really protected for years, as we now know. But this still manages to go yet another step beyond. The story then reminds us that roughly 2,000 protesters, including an unknown number of undercover agents, CHSs, and various informants, entered the Capitol that day. Many of them, of course, at the invitation of Capitol Police and the guards at the building. But a so-called FBI analyst exploited FISA to unjustifiably conduct searches on 23,132 Americans to, quote, find evidence of possible foreign influence, although the analyst conducting the inquiries had no indications of any such so-called foreign influence. Remember, folks, they can't see foreign influence when it's bribing their bosses. This, according to FISA Chief Judge Rudolph Contreras. Although the court ruling did not disclose, I don't think they even knew, what so-called standards, if any, the FBI was using for their claims of warrantless January 6 searches. But wait, there's more. The FBI exploited FISA to target 19,000 donors to the campaign of a candidate who even challenged an incumbent member of Congress. And as your host, hey, one of those that was no doubt supposed to win. And here's the part that ought to really infuriate real Americans. The FBI analyst justified the warrantless anti-constitutional searches by claiming, quote, the campaign was a target of foreign influence, unquote. And ponder the irony, folks, since they have installed a fake president who is literally a puppet of not just foreign influence, but bought and paid for. And the real foreign influence, no doubt about it, is what they're covering up. So back to Chuck Grassley and the story, which did at least appear in places like The Examiner, which said that sources previously had told them that the Burisma owner discussed an alleged bribe of $5 million to the big guy, Joe Biden, and of $5 million also to Hunter Biden, according to the paid FBI informant who said he'd heard this from Zlochevsky himself. Zlochevsky said he believed that it'd be difficult to unravel the alleged bribery scheme for at least 10 years because of the complexity, the number of bank accounts that were involved. And get this, folks, Zlochevsky's alleged reference to Joe Biden as the big guy appears to be independent of other references to the fake president also as the big guy. In other words, there's a second witness here, which was originally covered by a Hunter Biden business associate during negotiations with Chinese intelligence-linked businesses. And that China-related reference, as opposed to the Ukraine-related reference, occurred in 2017 and an email that was made public in October of 2020, 3 full years later. Not too long before the election, and that helps explain why that, too, had to be covered up by your friendly neighborhood and, yes, treasonous FBI. Also on Monday concludes the Zero Hedge summary. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer of Kentucky subpoenaed Hunter Biden's former business partner, Devin Archer, demanding that he sit for a deposition and arguably a little bit of testifying. Yeah, you be the judge, according to CBS News. And isn't this funny? Zero Hedge notes what a number of people have found more than a bit suspicious, and not for the first time. The Biden Fuhrer had to cancel a whole bunch of meetings on Monday to take care of a sudden, root canal. And how's that for a bit of bitter truth masquerading as painful irony? At the very least, folks, and I'll conclude the way I began, it's increasingly impossible now to deny what has become a literal fait accompli. Thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.